Playing a video game with your mind. It's happening. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. It sounds like the stuff of science fiction, but now it's just science. Brain-computer interfaces make it possible for people and other sentient creatures to control technology with their brains. Last year, Neuralink, the brain device company owned by Elon Musk, claimed it had trained a monkey to play the video game Pong using this technology. Now there are a number of private companies and academic researchers trying to improve this technology for broader use. We sent producer Daniel Shin to check out a gaming project at a small software company in California.
At the offices of AE Studio in Venice Beach, I'm getting ready to do something I've only dreamed of: play a video game with my mind. To do so, I'm going to use something called a brain-computer interface, or a BCI. It's a device that translates my brain signals into movement on a screen. Imagine a tight, thick shower cap peppered with wet sponges and wires.
So we have all our sponges placed. They're nice and wet, so hopefully conductive to electricity.
That's Dr. Sumner Norman. He's part of a team of scientists who design software for these devices. First, we calibrate the device to my brain activity. Norman gives me instructions.
I want you to imagine that you're right on the edge of literally jumping out of your seat to, like, you know, grab something on the wall.
Thinking about moving while not moving is really hard to do. But unfortunately, that's the reality for many physically disabled people. And as these interfaces get better, these devices can bridge the disconnect between thought and action and potentially give disabled people some physical agency, says Norman.
It can be simply the control of a cursor on a screen. It can be a robotic arm or a prosthetic for someone who's lost that ability.
But there are challenges with these devices, according to Dr. Jose Millan, a professor of electrical and computer engineering at the University of Texas at Austin.
These signals that we are recording are prone to be contaminated by different sources of noise.
In other words, there could be electromagnetic signals from other nearby tech, or even our muscle movement that scrambles the interface. Researchers are also experimenting with inserting these devices into the brain. But these invasive interfaces have their own problems, according to Dr. Karen Schroeder, a researcher at the University of Columbia.
The biological environment in the brain is pretty hostile to implanted electrodes, and they tend to not last particularly long.
Part of the problem is our brains are constantly changing, and it can take weeks, even months, to train people to use these devices and to calibrate them once they're tuned to someone's brain chemistry. Software developers are working on brain interfaces that can adapt quickly, so eventually they'll have wider applications. Think a mind-controlled wheelchair, or even mental health treatments, says Schroeder.
People are trying to use non-invasive stimulation to potentially treat psychiatric conditions like depression or anxiety, biofeedback type of applications for mood or meditation.
Back at AE Studio, I'm ready to see if I can control this video game with my brain. Dr. Sumner Norman is just about done calibrating my device.
I will tell you that so far your impedance levels are much lower than mine the last two times that I've tested this cap, so.
I guess I have a thin skull.
Not necessarily. That's one of about 100 variables
that could
influence it. I try to
make this cute little green dinosaur jump over pixelated cacti. Sort of a very basic version of a Super Mario Brothers level. And it turns out I'm pretty good at this. And Norman agrees.
Wow, I'm impressed. 342 with brain control. Rob, what was your brain?
It was far from perfect, but I did, to some degree, make the dinosaur jump with just my mind. Now, this experiment was not for commercial use. It was just a fun way to test the technology. But the idea is that this software could lead to practical, life-changing applications for people who struggle with physical disabilities.
That was producer Daniel Shin. And And now for some related links. We've got a video of producer Daniel Shin playing that video game on our website, marketplacetech.org. It doesn't even break a sweat. And cool as it is, this tech has bigger implications than making game dinosaurs jump. Ars Technica reported on the case of a man paralyzed by ALS in Germany. He was able to use an implanted brain interface to communicate when he was no longer able to speak. With several months of training, he was eventually able to use his brain to select letters on a computer, spell out words, and create short audio messages. He asked his caretakers for a beer, to play his favorite band, Tool, and asked his young son to watch the movie Robin Hood with him. It's pretty incredible. Researchers at the University of South Florida are also using this kind of tech to make brain paintings. They don't exactly compare to the works of the old masters, but the technique has potential as a treatment to improve concentration for people with ADHD. Now, of course, technology that can read our brains does raise some concerns. I mean, targeted advertising is already creepy enough, right? I mean, imagine if companies could actually track how our brains respond to content. That is a ways off, according to an article from the Future of Privacy Forum. But the time to start thinking about how to safeguard the data collected from our brains is probably before companies can read our thoughts. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.